Okay, I am recording as well. We can post the Maramaquemes.
Problem here. Okay.
Okay, there we
Can
go.
everyone see the monitor?
You can enlarge it a little.
Yeah, I'm using Google Docs here, so it's a little different. Here we go.
Okay, Yasha Koyach, everybody, for coming. Tonight's topic, continuing in the Inyanei Choshen Mishpat, trying to have interesting topics. Tonight's topic is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So literally that means that Ein Shliach, there's no such thing as an agent when it comes to an Aveira. So simply put, we're going to go through the sugya and some of the ramifications and some of the applications. Simply, what it means is if I send you as an agent, I will not be liable for whatever act you commit, even though you've committed the act on my behalf. So I will not be liable. And we'll see the circumstances when we apply this principle, and we'll see the exceptions to the rule. And there's a few machlokes, and there are a few disputes in the Rishonim and the Paiskim when these exceptions apply. So the general rule is that I'm not liable for an act committed by my agent. The agent is liable, but there are many exceptions, and there's a dispute what exactly those exceptions are. So it's a very interesting topic. So just by way of introduction, so the Gemara says in Kiddushin on Daf Mem Aleph, as we all know, that there's a concept of shlichus. If we want to speak about the exceptions, we have to first lay down the rule. The rule is that there's a concept of shlichus. Shlichus means that there's an agency. You're my agent. Now, the Gemara brings various psukim sources to this concept. We don't have to go through all the sources, but the examples that the Gemara cites, one example is gerushin. Gerushin, if a man wants to divorce his wife, he can either physically hand her the divorce document to get personally, or he can appoint the shliach to hand the get to his wife. Now, it's important to understand the concept of shlichas because the Torah says clearly that the get, the divorce document, has to come directly from the husband. If the husband, for example, would place the get on the table and the woman would pick up the get, it wouldn't be valid. That's known as kli gitech mi'al gavi karta. That means that she received the divorce document on her own, by her own power. It has to be handed over to her physically by the Baal. So it's very important to understand that the concept of shlichus is that the husband is empowering the agent to act on his behalf, and it will be a fulfillment of the pasuk that it's coming directly from the husband. The agent is acting on behalf of the husband, and it's considered an extension of the husband. Had it not been for the parsha of shlichus, had it not been for this agency, for this mechanism of shlichus, it would not be considered that it's coming from the husband. Another example is kiddushin. Kiddushin, so the halacha is that only I can marry a woman to myself. You can't, you're not authorized to marry someone to me on my behalf. However, shlichus says that I can authorize you to perform the kiddushin. You could give the girl the money, and therefore have me in mind, and you're acting as an extension of me. And the same thing applies to truma. So truma, if a person has a produce and he wants to tithe the produce, so only the owner is authorized to tithe the produce. Nobody else is authorized, nobody else has the power to tithe my produce. However, I can appoint an agent, I can appoint you as my agent, and I can empower you to tithe my produce, and therefore it'll be considered again that you're an extension of me, you're acting on my behalf, and it will be as if I am tithing my own produce. So it's very important to understand that that shlichus is not just that you're doing me a favor, but it's a chalos. We're affecting a mechanism, we're creating a halachic mechanism whereby you performing the act will be as if I was performing the act. And finally, another example the Gemara gives there is kadshim, regarding certain halachas regarding the karbanis. If you shecht the Korban Pesach on my behalf, that locks me into that Korban Pesach because I authorized you to shecht, to bring that, to offer that Korban Pesach on my behalf. And we have shlichas, we have sources for all of these areas of shlichas, and the assumption is that shlichas will apply to all areas of the Torah. Now the Gemara asks a question, and this is how we enter the topic of a shlichas l'dvar avera. If you have an agent who is going to commit, you sent an agent off to commit a sin. So the Gemara says the following, Hadisnan, this is item base, this that we learn in the Mishnah, Hashaleach asa bi'ira biyad chereshayta v'kata, if a person sends a child, someone who's not liable, off with a fire, Pater medine adam mechayim medine shemayim, the halacha is that the mishaleach, the principal, is exempt for any damage that the child causes. The Gemara there explains because it's a grumma, it was an indirect damage, and you gave the child matches to play with, certainly a reckless thing to do. It certainly wasn't safe. The fire department wouldn't be happy with you, but if the child lights the match and causes damage, we really can't say that I was a direct cause. It's just a grumma. That's not the topic of our discussion, the concept of grumma. However, here's the next case. Shilach biyad pikeach, and the Mefarshim explain, imagine if I authorized you, I instructed you to go cause damage on my behalf, I sent you off with a fire, or even if I just told you on my own, that go light a fire and go burn down somebody's house, biyad pikeach, in the hands of an adult, so pikeachai. The agent is liable for whatever damage he causes. We cannot attribute the damage back to the principal because there's no shlichus. So the Gemara is asking, if we just have all these sources to this agency, to this mechanism of shlichus, so the question is, if I send an adult off to go and burn and cause damage, or if I hire a hitman, there's actually a question about hiring. If I ask a hitman to go murder someone on my behalf, or I ask someone to cause damage, to burn down somebody's house, the halacha is that I'm exempt, and the agent is the one who's liable. It was his choice. So asks the Gemara, why can't he be my shliach, and why can't I be responsible for anything that he causes? Just like he can separate the truma, he can tithe the produce, and it's as if I tithe the produce, or he could give the get on behalf of the husband, and it's as if the husband gave the get. So why can't his lighting of the fire, why can't the damage that he's causing be considered an extension of the principal, and the principal, the mishaleach, should be chayav? So the Gemara says the famous klal, ein shliach l'dvar avera. The Gemara says you cannot be a shliach on behalf of an avera. The act that the agent does is not attributed to the mishaleach, and the shliach has chayiv. Why? So here's the answer. Divrei harav, v'divrei talmud, divrei mishon. It's almost like the Gemara says to the shliach, the words of the master, that's Hashem, and the words of the student, that was me, that was the principal. Who are you supposed to listen to? If I tell you to go burn down somebody's house, well, Hashem said that you're not allowed to go burn down somebody's house. So divrei harav, divrei haTalmid, mi shoymim, that if the rav, if the master says something and the student says something, who are you expected to listen to? You're expected to listen to the master. You can't say I was just following orders. You have to use your own seichel, and you have to say, well, I should not have followed the student. I should follow the master. Now it's very interesting. That's what the Gemara says, but there's actually a nuance here in the Mefarshim. What exactly does this principle mean? There's no shlichas for an avera. The reason is divrei harav, divrei haTalmid, divrei mishomim, that the words of the master and the words of the student, obviously the words of the master take precedence. The words of the master are much more authoritative than the words of the student. Therefore what? Why exactly does that exempt the principle, and why does that obligate the agent for acting and following my word. What exactly is the svar? There's a nuanced approach here. Rashi says in Baba Metzia, on Daf Yud Amid Beis, Dibur Hamaskal Bar Chayuva, we're actually going to come back to this Gemara in Baba Metzia in depth. So Rashi explains that the agent himself is liable for this act. He's muzer. He's responsible not to do this avera. So we say divri harav, divri hatalmid, divri mishoimin. Those are the words of the Gemara. And here's Rashi's explanation: the lo hoya lo lasos. The shliach should not have listened. The shliach shouldn't have listened because since you have the words of the master and you have the words of the student, so you're supposed to listen to the master. So the shliach, the agent, cannot say that he was acting on behalf of the mishaleach, because the shliach, the agent, should not have listened. And Rashi says, it's nechshav, v'loy nechshav shlucho, you're not considered to be his agent, v'nechshav ki'ilu oisa me'elav, and it's considered as if you acted on your own accord. How does a shliach work? What attributes my act to the principal? What attributes the act to the principal is that you were following the instructions of the principal. That's what we learned from the Psukim. That's enough to consider the principal, the one who was committing the act, performing the act, separating the truma, etc. Because you were following my instructions. In this case, the shliach should not have followed the instructions. So you can't say that my instructions was sort of an impetus that you should have perform the act, because you're not supposed to follow my instructions. If you do, we consider it as if you acted on your own accord. You cannot say that I was mechayev. You cannot say that I prompted the act, because you should not have listened. You should have followed your own seichel. You shouldn't have done it. It's as if you did the act on your own. That's what Rashi says. The sma. So he's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, Kuf Pei Beis, Sifkat and Beis. So he also brings the statement of the Gemara, Divri HaRav, Divri HaTalmud, Divri Mishonim. He also brings the statement of the Gemara that, who do you expect? Should you listen to the master or should you listen to the student? And the Sma explains the Svara of the Gemara a little bit differently. Says the Sma, this is the last line in item Gimel, Svarasi Shaloi Yishmali, the Mishaleach, the principal, can say, I didn't think you would listen. Lekach e mishaleach chayev, therefore the principal is exempt, is not liable, because I can say I didn't think you would listen. So let's contrast what Rashi says to what the Sma, the Sma is the name of the Sefer Meiris Einayim, the commentary on the Choshen Mishpat. Let's contrast. Let's play it out. Imagine if I would ask you, would you please do me a favor, would you please go and burn down somebody's house? I'm angry at him, I want you to burn down his house. So you go ahead and you follow my instructions. We say that you're liable, not me. Why? Because the words of the Rebbe versus the words of the Talmud. Rashi says, you shouldn't have listened. You shouldn't have listened. Therefore, if you decided to burn the house down, you were doing it on your own, because you were not supposed to listen. Hashem is more authoritative than me, and therefore you should not have listened to me. That's how Rashi explains it. The Sma says that it's not because the shliach shouldn't have listened. Of course, this Sma agrees that the shliach shouldn't have listened. But that's not what exempts. That's not the critical factor what exempts the mishaleach, the principal. What exempts the principal is the principal. I could say, I didn't think you would listen. Because who expects you to listen to the Talmud instead of the Rebbe? I didn't think you would listen. So according to Rashi, the reason why the agent is liable and not the principal is because the agent shouldn't have listened. According to the Sma, the reason why the principal is exempt and the agent is liable is because the principal can say, I didn't think you would listen. Is it because the shliach taka shouldn't have listened? Or is it because the mishaleach can say, I didn't really mean it. I didn't think that you would listen. It's almost like the mishaleach is saying, the principal is saying, I was just joking because I never imagined that you would actually listen. According to Rashi, it's more from the perspective of the shliach. The shliach shouldn't have listened, therefore he's liable for his own act. According to the mishaleach, it's more mitzad, it's more from the perspective of the principal. The principal can say, I didn't think you would listen. I didn't expect you to listen. It's almost like the principal is saying, I was just joking because I never thought that you would listen. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that this nuance actually yields a difference. So in item Hey, Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Bava Metzia points out, imagine if you asked someone to burn down somebody's house, and this person is a mumer lahachas. This person is someone who's famous. He's notorious for burning down people's houses. If you ask him to burn down somebody's house, there's no question he'll do it because he loves burning down people's houses. So now, according to Rashi's wording, that the reason why the principal is exempt and the agent is liable is because the agent shouldn't have listened, and therefore if he does agree to burn down the house, he's acting upon his own accord, because he cannot really say that I'm the one who told him to do it, because he's supposed to listen to Hashem more than me. So if he decides to do it, that's his own violation. He's responsible on his own. The wording of the Sma, who says that the reason why I'm exempt, the principal is exempt, is because I can say that I was just joking. I never imagined that you would follow through. If I know that you're the kind of person that will follow through, I can't say that I didn't think that you'd follow through, because I knew that you would follow through. So according to the Sma's understanding, that it's from the Mishaleach's perspective, it's from the principal's perspective, in that case, the principal should be liable. So this is a big difference between the nuance, how we understand the wording of the Gemara. Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishnah. If the master says one thing and the student says another thing, who are you supposed to listen to? That's what the Gemara says. So what? Who are you supposed to listen to? I'm supposed to listen to Hashem. How does that change the facts that I was your shliach? So according to Rashi, it's from the shliach's perspective. You're not a shliach because you're not supposed to listen to the mishaleach. You cannot say that you were just following orders. You were acting on your own. According to the Sma, it's from the mishaleach's perspective. The mishaleach can say, I never thought that you'd listen. I can't be responsible for what you did, because it's almost like he's saying, I didn't mean it, because I didn't think that I told you to do it, but I never imagined that you would actually do it, and that's why I'm exempt. So the difference would be someone who's a mu'ad, somebody who's a mumr lahachas, someone who you know is going to follow through. According to Rashi, the principal will still be exempt, because the shliach shouldn't have done it. If he decides to do it, it's his responsibility. According to the Sma, the mishaleach would be chayv. Here's an exception, that the principal will be liable, because he can't say that he wasn't serious. He can't say that he didn't think the shliach would follow through. So according to the Sma, we already have an exception to the rule. If I ask you to do something and it's known that you're the kind of person who will follow through, then the mishaleach will be chayiv according to the Sma. Now, it's interesting because this is actually a machlokes in halacha between the Ramah and the Shach. In Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kuf Pei Ches. In Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kuf Pei Ches, so that the Shach and the Ramah actually argue about this. The Ramah says, here's a quote from the Ramah, Mi shesholach shliach limsor, somebody who sends an agent to slander, to be a meiser, to tell the authorities that somebody has money. So this is a moiser, to get another Jew in trouble with the authorities. So if I would send you to tattle on another Jew, and maybe he owes taxes or something. So whether we're not condoning whether or not the Jew is right in not paying the taxes or not, but if you report him, so especially back in those days, the government would overpunish. It would not be a response that's appropriate, and therefore it's considered handing over the person to the authorities, and they're going to do much more than what the person is liable for. So you're not allowed to do that, and you're responsible for any damage that the government would cause. Imagine, or the non-Jews would cause. Imagine if I ask you to turn somebody else in. So says the Ramah, Misha Sholach Shliach Limsor, if I would send an agent. If anybody can hear. Okay, we're having a little difficulty. Okay, so in Ois Vav, in item Vav, says the Ramah in the Shach, here's a quote from the Ramah, Mi shesholach shliach limsor, If I would send an agent to tattle on another Jew, im hashliach huchzik lachzos, if the shliach is known to do this, that he's waiting for the opportunity to turn people in, chayiv hamishalchay, then the mishaleach, the principal, is liable. That's what the Ramah paskins. The ein loymar ein shliach l'dvar avera, you can't claim ein shliach l'dvar avera, hoyel l'huchzik b'kach, because the agent that you chose to send to tattle on another Jew is a known tattler. We knew he would do it. So therefore, the mishaleach is liable. That's what the Ramah says. So you see from here that the Ramah holds like the Sma. The whole reason why ein shliach l'dvar avera is because the mishaleach could say, you weren't allowed to listen. I never thought you would listen. But if it's known, the person has a reputation to do these things, and you knew that the shliach would follow through, whether it's legal or not, you would be mechayiv, you would be obligated, because in that case, you can't claim that you weren't serious. However, the shach over there, in Sifkat and Samach Zayin, argues on the Ramah, and the shach says, even according to Ravina, we're going to see about that in a minute, the mishaleach is exempt. Why? So here's a quote from the shach. The sof, because in final analysis, Hacha Zehu Yisrael, this mummer, although he's a criminal, although he gives people over, he's a Jew. Ubar Chayuvahu, and he's liable. He should not have listened. So we still apply the principle, Divri Harav, Divri Talmud, because he shouldn't have listened. He is not allowed to turn people in, whether he does it or not, whether he's known to do it or not, he's not allowed to, and therefore, Ein Shliach Barver. So it would seem very clearly that the Ramah paskins like the Sma. The whole reason the principal is exempt is because he didn't expect the shliach to follow through. In this case, you knew the shliach would follow through, so you're liable. But the shach holds like Rashi. The shach says that the reason you're exempt is simply because the shliach shouldn't have listened. So regardless of whether the shliach is prone to do this or not, he shouldn't have listened. If he does it, he's responsible, and therefore he would be liable and not the mishaleach. Now, there's another big difference with all of this that Tosfos says in Kedushin on the Mem Beis Amud Beis. Imagine if I'm a thief and I fool you. I say, would you mind going and picking up my car? My car is parked in front of somebody's front somebody's house. The keys are in the car, or the keys are in that person's house. Would you mind going into that person's house, getting his keys and driving off the car, because it's my car and I'm the one who parked it there? Maybe I claim that I lent him the keys and I have permission to get the keys. Whatever it is, I fool you into thinking that it's my object. The Gemara's actual case is not as elaborate as I'm trying to create over here. The Gemara's case was that somebody's cow was sitting on his front lawn, and I convince you, I say to you, that's my cow, would you mind bringing my cow over? So I fooled you into committing an act of theft, because it's his cow, and I gave the impression that it's mine, and I asked you to please retrieve that cow and bring it, put it into my barn. So I basically fooled you into stealing. So Tosfos says that in this case, this is item Zion. So Tosfos says, Heicha the shliach l'yada shehu avera, if the agent is unaware of the sin, k'mo heicha the omar ganav l'shliach, if the thief told the agent to take the object on his behalf, and the shliach the shliach has no idea that it's stolen property, the mishaleach is chayef. And Tosfos says, the loy shayef lameimer divrei harav and divrei hatalmid divrei mishoimim. It's impossible. We cannot apply the rule that if the master says one thing and the principal and the talmid, the student, says something else, we cannot apply the rule that you have to listen to the master, because in this case, the agent did not realize that it was an avir. I fooled you into thinking that it's my object, or any case you can come up with. If I ask you to do something on my behalf and you're under the impression that you're allowed to do it, I ask you to burn down somebody's house and I convince you that it's my house and that I'm from the demolition committee and I'm convincing you to knock down somebody's house and you're completely convinced that you're allowed to be doing what you're doing, I would be liable, says Tosfos, because I convinced you to do it and because you had no idea that it was an avir. So these are already two exceptions to the rule. One exception is if you know for sure, if I know that you're going to commit the sin, even though it's forbidden, but I know you're going to commit the sin. So the Sma would say that I'm liable. And that's how the Ramah paskins as well. however the shach disagrees. Another example would be if the shliach is under the impression that it's permissible for him to do it, the halacha would be, says Tosfos, that the mashaleach would be chayav. Now, it's not so simple. It's very interesting because it gets a little bit, we can go further. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that there are actually three exceptions to the rule based on sources in the Torah that we do hold the mashaleach accountable. So don't forget, let's put the ideas that we've been saying until now on the burner. We talked about exceptions where the shliach is unaware that it's a sin, or we're talking about exceptions where the shliach is prone to do this sin. Let's put those ideas on the burner. Let's talk about the actual, what the Gemara actually says. There are three exceptions to the rule. Me'ila, shlichus yad, and tficha. Now these are three examples. Me'ila means that back in the day when there was a Beis HaMikdash, there were things that were sanctified. So if you embezzle, if you steal from the Beis HaMikdash, you have to reimburse the Beis HaMikdash, the principal, the keren. You have to pay an extra fifth and you have to bring a sacrifice. If there are verses in the Torah, if I would send you to go and be moil behektish, the halacha is that I would be liable. I would have to pay the principal. I would have to add the fifth and I would have to bring the sacrifice. That's mi'ila. There's a special exception. Even if the principal, even if the agent knows that it's forbidden, that's an exception. Another exception is shlichus yad. If I'm a custodian watching your object and I ask somebody to steal the object and to use it or to sell it, then the shliach, the shomer, the custodian will be responsible even though he didn't physically steal the object. And the third example is tficha. We're all familiar with the famous halacha. If I steal an ox and I slaughter the ox, I have to pay four or five times. If I would get somebody else to slaughter the ox, I don't know how to shecht. If I would get a butcher to slaughter the ox, I would have to pay the four or five times. Three exceptions. Now we have a rule that whenever the Torah gives us a few examples, we generally say that they become the exception rather than the rule. It's a very interesting concept because if let's pick one example. If I steal an ox and I ask you to slaughter the ox on my behalf, you're a shoychet, I'm liable for the gdal of the hay for the four or five times. If this is the general rule that I'm always responsible for the act of my agent, why did the Torah have to give us so many examples? One example would suffice. The fact that the Torah gave us so many examples, that shows that those examples are the exception rather than the rule. So it's almost like a limud fakert. It's almost like an opposite source. The fact that the Torah singled out a few examples where there is agency that creates a liability for the principal, that actually serves as a source that usually you're not liable. So now it turns out that we have two sources to Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. The Svara, we have the rationale of the Gemara, that when the Rebbe, when the master says something, and the student says something, the master's word is more authoritative, the Svara that we've been mentioning until now. Plus we have the rule that when the Torah gives three examples, that actually serves as a miut. That serves as an exception, and the rule now becomes the opposite, that you're not liable. So we have a svara, we have a rationale, and we also have a technical source that you're not liable. So it's interesting, the Ritva in Kiddushin, and this is item Yud, the Ritva in Kiddushin argues on the Tosfos. Tosfos says that if the rationale was that you're supposed to listen to Hashem, if the shliach doesn't realize that it's forbidden, I fooled you into thinking that it's my object, or you're unaware of the prohibition, then I'm liable. That's what Tosfos says. Because Tosfos says you can't apply the rationale of Dibri HaRav, Dibri HaTalmid, if the shliach doesn't even know, he's unaware that it's us. The Ritva says that's as far as the rationale goes. But the Ritva considers the principle, the three exception rule, to be a source that we normally don't apply shlichas. That's the real source. So says the Ritva, in item Yud, Pirish, Taima Ka'amrinan Chuhuken ala Rov. The Gemara is just giving us a rationale that usually applies. However, says the Ritva, Dina Do'iraisahu Kilakaman. But in truth, even when the rationale does not apply, we still would not hold the principle liable because we have the exception. The exceptions, the three exceptions of the Torah teach us that the mishaleach normally is not liable. So although the Gemara throws out a rationale, the Gemara says because the shliach should have listened to Hashem. That's just like an idea, but that's not the actual, it doesn't depend on that. Even when you have cases where the shliach didn't know, we still would not hold the principle of the mishaleach liable. That's what the Ritzva says. So it turns out in item Yud Aleph that according to Tosfos, the main rationale for Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira is the Svara, because the Shliach should have listened to Hashem. If, according to Tosfos, we have the exceptions that we mentioned earlier. According to Tosfos, if the Shliach is unaware of the prohibition, so the Mishaleach will be liable, and we have the Machlekes between the Rashi and the Sma, or the Shach and the Ramah, if the Shliach is known, is prone to sin, according to, we mentioned before, according to Rashi, the Shliach would still be liable. According to the Sma, we can say that the Mishaleach would be liable. All of this is according to the rationale. But the Ritva comes and says that it doesn't depend on the rationale, because the real reason why there's no Shliach L'Dvar Aveira is simply because of the exceptions that we said. The exceptions teach us that the general rule, no matter what, is that we do not hold the Mishaleach, the principle, liable. So right away we have a Machlekes between Tosfos and the Ritva. It's almost like two different schools of thought. According to Tosfos, it's because you're supposed to listen to Hashem, and that yields all of the differences when we can't, when that doesn't apply. But according to the Ritva, it's a blanket rule that we can never hold the Mishaleach liable. Now, let's hold off for a minute. Let's look at the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara has a fascinating concept in Bava Metzia. We know a chatzir, a courtyard, your backyard. If you have a backyard that's fenced in, it's a safe area. You keep things out there. You keep your lawn furniture there. You might keep your bicycle back there, your basketball back there. You keep things in your backyard. Now, the Gemara tells us that a chatzir is kind. The Gemara tells us that if something falls in your backyard, imagine if there's a bird nest back there, so you automatically own whatever is in your courtyard. So you know there's a halacha of shiluach hakein, of sending off the bird, but not if you own the bird. If you own the bird, there's no obligation to send off the mother bird. So if you have a bird nest on your property, so usually you're not required to send away the mother bird, even if you theoretically would want the eggs. You're normally not required to send off the mother bird because you automatically own whatever's on your property. That's called chatzir iskain. The courtyard acquires for you. The Gemara says that the courtyard acquires things for you just like an agent. Your courtyard is considered like an extension of yourself. It's like your agent. Just like I can ask you to go to the store and purchase something on my behalf, my courtyard is automatically acquires things on my behalf. So if something ownerless falls into my backyard, I automatically own it. If you want to sell something to me, we spoke last week about creating transactions, I can say to you, you know what? Toss it into my backyard and I'll automatically own it already. That's an act of acquisition because your courtyard acquires. The Gemara says something interesting. The Gemara says that if let's go back to the stolen cow. If your cow is on your front lawn and I coax the cow to walk into my backyard and I close the fence, although I never touch the cow, my courtyard will act as my agent and I will be liable for stealing the cow. I'll have to pay double. I'll have to pay the 4 or the 5 times if I checked it, because I am liable for stealing your cow. My courtyard acted on my behalf. I'm the one who coaxed the cow to go into my backyard. I close the door. The cow can't get out. I'm automatically liable for theft, even though I never touched the cow. My courtyard acts on my behalf. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. What happened to the concept of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? That you can't have, you're never liable for the act of your Shliach. Now, if we think about it, this Gemara really is a proof to the Ritva that although the courtyard is not even a sentient being, the courtyard is an inanimate object. Obviously, the courtyard doesn't listen to Hashem. It doesn't do it. All it does is acquire for you. Nevertheless, the Gemara is saying that I should not be liable for the act of my courtyard. So really, the Gemara itself is almost like a proof to the Ritva that it doesn't depend on the rationale. Now, The Gemara gives us two differences. You know why you're liable for the act of your courtyard, even though you're not normally liable for the act of your agent? Ravina says the reason, this is on an item Yud Beis. Ravina says, when do we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? If the Shliach himself is a Bar Chiyuva, if the Shliach himself is obligated in that mitzvah, if the Shliach himself is obligated in that mitzvah, then we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So going back to our case before, if I asked you to go burn down somebody's house, so usually, you're just as obligated not to burn down somebody's house as I am. And therefore, that's when we say, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, because you're subject to that mitzvah. The chatzer, the courtyard, is not subject to any mitzvahs. The courtyard is not a human being. The courtyard is not commanded not to steal. The courtyard doesn't have any mitzvahs. So therefore, when the courtyard, it's like a robot. When the courtyard acquires something on my behalf, I will be liable. Why? Because the courtyard serves as my agent. What happened to the rule of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? The answer is that only applies when the Shliach himself is subject to that mitzvah. The courtyard is like a robot. The courtyard doesn't have any mitzvahs, and therefore I will be liable for the act of the courtyard. That's Ravina. Rav Sama says a different difference. The difference is because a Shliach, an ordinary Shliach, has a choice. He can either listen or not. The courtyard doesn't have a choice. If I coax the animal into my backyard, the backyard is going to be holding the animal for me whether the courtyard likes it or not. The courtyard doesn't have free will. It doesn't have a choice. It's an inanimate object. So therefore, I will be liable because I didn't give the shliach a choice. According to Ravina, it depends if the shliach himself is subject to that mitzvah. According to Rav Sama, it depends if I gave the shliach a choice. When it comes to your courtyard, both requirements, both conditions are met. Number one, the courtyard doesn't have a mitzvah. It's not subject to the mitzvah of not stealing. Therefore, I'll be liable. According to Rav Sama, I didn't give the courtyard a choice. Therefore, I'll be liable for anything that the courtyard does on my behalf if I'm the one who precipitated, if I'm the one who orchestrated that. That is the difference between Rav Sama and Ravina. Now, the Gemara gives us a practical difference, not just the case of a courtyard. The Gemara gives us a real-life example. The Gemara says, imagine if a Kohen, who's not allowed to marry a divorced woman, imagine if a Kohen sends a Yisrael, a non-Kohen, to perform the Kedushin on his behalf, right? I can't do it because I'm a Kohen, but I'll get the non-Kohen. He'll marry the Grusha to me. He'll marry the forbidden woman to the Kohen. So according to Ravina, the Yisrael is not subject to that mitzvah. A Yisrael is allowed to marry a divorced woman. He's not subject to this mitzvah. So Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, the Kohen will apply the rule that the Kohen will be married and the Kohen will have to suffer the consequences for having married a Grusha. Because the Yisrael that he sent is not subject to that mitzvah. According to Rav Sama...
Why can't you just say, because the Kedushin will be tofes if the Kohen would do it himself? That's why.
But Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, that's because he did it himself. If I would burn down the house would be burned down also, but I'm not responsible. There's no shlichas for a Dvar Aveira. So if I send the Yisrael off to marry to the Kohen, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, that's an Aveira. So the question is, can the Kohen be held responsible for that act? If he does it himself, he did it himself. We're discussing doing it through a Shliach. Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. According to Rav Sama, though, even though the Yisrael is not subject to this mitzvah, but the Yisrael had a choice, he could have listened or he could have not have listened. He's not a chatzar, he's not a courtyard. He had free will. He didn't have to enable me to do this Aveira. Therefore, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, it will not be attributed to the Kohen. So here's a practical example. If you send someone who, for whatever reason, is not subject to that particular mitzvah, a Yisrael is allowed to marry a Grusha. If a Kohen sends a Yisrael to marry a Grusha to the Kohen on my behalf, according to Ravina, the Kohen will be married and the Kohen will have to suffer the consequences of being married to a Grusha because Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, if the Shliach himself is not subject to that mitzvah. But according to Rav Sama says, as long as the Shliach had a choice, the halacha is Ein Shliach l'dvaraver. Now, how do we paskin in that machlokes? Again, we have a machlokes between the Ramah and the Shach. According to the Ramah paskins in Kuf Pei Beis. Any bekold, here's the quote from the Ramah in Item Tesvav. Bekold davar shlucha shel adam kavaisa. In every area, we normally say that the shliach, the agent, is the agent of the principal. Chutz miladvar aver, besides an aver. The kaimalon ain't shliach ladvar aver. We paskin that there's no shlichas when it comes to an aver. Dafka shashliach bar chayuva. That's only if the shliach himself is obligated in that mitzvah, in that particular mitzvah, he's subject to that mitzvah, then ain't shliach and bar avera. But if the shliach himself is not a bar chayuva, if the shliach himself is not subject to that very mitzvah, then yesh shliach levar avera, that means that the Ramah paskins like Ravina, the Ramah paskins like the first opinion in the Gemara. The Shach again argues, it's a very long Shach there, and the Shach brings a lot of sources that the halacha should follow Rav Sama, that as long as the shliach was given a choice to listen or to not listen, he's not a chatzir, he's not a robot, he has a choice. Therefore, ein shliach levar avera, even if the shliach himself is not subject to that mitzvah, but ein shliach levar avera, because the shliach had a choice, he has a mind of his own. That is the machlokes, the Shach and the Ramah. Let's give some real life examples where we'll be able to sort through what we've been discussing, sort through the various opinions, and come to what would be the conclusion? How would we apply all of this in actuality in halacha? So there's just a very interesting tshuvas noita b'Yehuda. We all know the halacha that obviously loyalenu, if the marriage doesn't work out, so a man is able to divorce his wife. The halacha is the tekanas Rabbeinu Gershom that a man is not allowed to divorce his wife against her will, although the divorce would be effective. So if the man would force the get upon his wife physically, he'd physically force her to accept the get would be valid. But there's a takana from Rabbeinu Gershom, Ma'or HaGoyla, very early on, there was a rabbinic enactment that you're not allowed to do that. So it becomes a rabbinic prohibition to divorce one's wife against her will. You have to get her to consent. You have to work it out that she agrees amicably, or even if it's not so amicably, to accept the get. Now, the Noit of Yehuda says the following. Imagine if the husband would appoint the shliach to force his wife to accept the get. So he's essentially empowering the shliach to give a get. So we learned that he's allowed to do. That's something he's allowed to do. If you want to give the get through a shliach, you have to appoint the shliach. But he's authorized, he's appointing the get, he's appointing the shliach to do an avera. He's appointing the shliach to give the get against the woman's will, to do an avera. So says the Noi de Yehuda, even though it's only a rabbinic prohibition, the shlichus won't even be effective at all. Now, we haven't been discussing this until now. We were discussing liability. The Noi de Yehuda says that the majority of the opinions, the consensus of the poskim is like the second answer in Tosis and Bar Metzia. The halacha is not only is the mishaleach not liable, but the shlichus, the agency, is not effective at all. So when the man forces his wife to accept the get, so if the man would personally force his wife to accept the get b'dyeved would be valid because he forced his wife to accept the get midoraisa, so the get is valid. He violated the takana of Rabbeinu Gershom, but the get is valid. But if he sends a shliach to force his wife to accept the get, the rabbinic prohibition nullifies, it voids the shlichas, and his wife won't even be divorced. It won't even be effective because ein shliach ledvar avera, you cannot appoint an agent to violate the word of Hashem or the word of the rabbis, because Hashem said to listen to the rabbis, and therefore the entire agency is null and void, and the get will not be effective. So he wouldn't even gain anything, even if he tried. Now the tzais, he nuances this. Imagine if the man appointed a shliach to give a get, but he didn't say to give it against the will. He wants the shliach to follow the halacha. And then the shliach on his own went and gave it against the will of the woman, then that would be as if the husband gave it because the agency was effective. I didn't appoint you to do an avera. But if the principal appointed the shliach to do an avera, that null and void, that completely nullifies the entire agency and nothing would be effective. Now, let's go through the opinions that we've been talking about. Imagine if a man tells, this is item Yudches, we're going to sum this up with the with this following case. Imagine if a man sends his minor son, his child son, his 10-year-old son, or his 8-year-old son, to go burn somebody's house down. Would the father be liable for the act of the child? The father sent his son to burn down somebody's house. Is the father liable for the act of the child? So let's go through the various opinions, how it would play out. So this is item your test, tshuva. This is the answer to the question. If the child knows, if the child does not know that it's forbidden, let's say the child is below the age, or let's say the father somehow managed to convince his child that he's allowed to go burn down the house for one reason or whatever excuse he gave, he managed to convince the child that you're allowed to burn down the house. So the father sent his child and the child was under the impression that he's allowed to burn down the house because the father told him that it's my house or whatever the case might be. So according to Tosfos that we quoted, if the shliach is a shogeg, if the shliach is unaware of the prohibition, then according to Tosfos, that's an exception right then and there. So the father will be liable. Because since the child did not realize that he's not allowed to burn down the house, the child was under the impression he could. So therefore, the father is liable. That would be Tosfos' opinion. And this would apply, according to Tosfos, even if the child was not a child, even if it was an adult. If I would send you off as an adult to burn down somebody's house, if I was somehow able to convince you that you were allowed to do it, then I would be liable. That's the opinion of Tosfos. According to the Ritva, however, we mentioned, that the idea that you should have listened to Hashem is just a rationale, but it, the real reason is you can never hold the Mishaleach liable. So according to the Ritva, the halacha is the father would be exempt. Even if the Shliach was unaware of the prohibition, the father would be exempt. However, let's talk about the Gemara in Bat Mitzia. The child is not subject to the prohibition. He's below the age of Bar Mitzvah. The Gemara says he's not considered to be a bar chayuva. So to a certain extent, the child is like a courtyard. He's like a robot because he's not subject to the prohibition. So according to the Ramah would say, we paskin like Ravina, that as long as the shliach himself is not subject to the prohibition, the mishaleach is chayef. So even if you hold like the Ritva, that it doesn't make a difference if the child realized it was forbidden or did not realize it was forbidden, even if it's just a rule that the Mishaleach is never obligated, but the Gemara tells us if the Shliach himself is not subject to that prohibition, we paskin like Ravina, and therefore the Mishaleach would be Chayef. However, according to the Shach, we paskin like Rav Sama. We paskin that as long as the Shliach was given a choice, the halacha would be that the Mishaleach is Pater. So unless the child is so young that he can't, that he's overwhelmed and intimidated by the father that he can't say no, but if the child theoretically could resist or could have chose not to listen, therefore, according to the Shach, we pass the like Rav Sama, again, the father would not be liable. So what would be the halacha? According to, if the child is unaware, Tosfos says the father is liable, the Ritva says the father is not liable. If we treat the child like he's not a bar chayuva, he himself is not subject, according to Ravina, the Ramah passes like Ravina, the father is liable. According to Rav Sama, the Shach passes like Rav Sama, the father is not liable. What would we do in this case? So it's a big sfeika the dina. It's a big suffix. So we once talked about this, Ovid Inish Dina Lenache, that the Bezdin would not be able to act because since it's a big machlekes apoiskim, who can decide between the Ramah and the Shach? Who can decide between the Tosfos and the Ritva? So it would be a Sveika the Dina. It would be an undecided and unresolved question. Let's just back up for a second. The general rule is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So now we're disputing exceptions, whether this is an exceptional case or not. The Tosfos says that it's an exceptional case. The Ramah says that it's an exceptional case. But the Ritva and the Shach say that it's not an exceptional case, that the Mishaleach is Pater. So what would the halacha be? The halacha would be that the Bezdin can't make me pay, but if you would grab the money yourself, We talked about this one time. If you would grab the money yourself, or if you would grab a collateral, then the Bezin would let you keep the money because it's a Shavva al Taisa. Bezin can't act. Our hands are tied because it's undecided in halacha. So we can't make the Mishaleach pay initially, but if somehow the victim got a hold of the money, we would not be able to take it away from him either. So that's what it says in Chaf Aleph and Item Chaf Aleph. I wrote that it would be a Sveika Dedina, and we can't, the Bezdin can't obligate you, but Tfisa would help. Tfisa would help, and you can say Kimli, you can say that you hold like the Ramah. Once you're holding the money, you could say, prove to me that I have to give the money back. Now, it goes without saying in Item Chaf Beis that we're discussing here like technicalities. If I would send a child off to burn down your house, the Bezdin can't make me pay, there wouldn't be any recourse. For technical reasons, it's important to note that, of course, bidei shemayim, of course, in a heavenly court, we said before, it's not worse than a grumma. It was at least causative. It was at least a grumma, and therefore you should be liable bidei shemayim. So the right thing to do, obviously, well, obviously not to send the child in the first place, but the right thing to do would be to pay in order to clear your heavenly account, because you don't want to be liable, you don't want to be held chayiving shemayim. We're discussing here bidei adam. That would be the shaila. So what we discussed a lot of things tonight. We discussed the Gemara in Kedushin. We discussed the svara of ein shliach l'dvar avera. We discussed divrei harav, divrei hatalmid. We discussed the nuance between Rashi and the Sma. We discussed the Gemara in Bamitzia and how it would apply to a regular case. Basically, whenever there's an exceptional case, there's going to be a machloikas, an argument if it's an exception, and therefore Bezdin cannot make me pay, but if you would manage to get a hold of my money, Bezdin would not require you to give it back either. And bidei shemayim, in order to clear the heavenly account, it's recommended that the mishaleach would pay in any case. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Yasha koyach.
In the